الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم One of the amazing aspects of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us is the fact that we are similar, but at the same time we are different. And this is something that is very, very unique to creation in general, but to us in particular. You see that when you look at your neighbor or anyone sitting next to you, I mean, we're similar. We have blood flowing through our arteries and our veins. We have a heart. We have lungs. We have a brain. We have four limbs. And, you know, we smile on certain occasions. We cry on other occasions. And these things are similarities that exist amongst all human beings on the planet. But at the same time, even though we have all those similarities, each of us is so different that there is no other person that is similar to us. That the ability to be able to have so many things that, to have something that shares so many similar characteristics, but at the same time is so subtly different from the one before it, such that no human being on the planet ever is exactly like the other human being ever created, that's something that is just completely mind-boggling. You know, I mean, the example, and I've given this example before, you know, so they create the iPad, you know, and it's such a unique creation as far as like an invention is concerned. But all they do is take that iPad and they mass produce it. You know, they mass produce it. They produce a million of them or 100 million of them. But each one is exactly the same like the other. And that's the only way. They couldn't make 100, you know, 100 million unique iPads such that the machinery is all the same, but each one is independently different. You could give it a name and tell the difference between one and the other. It's not possible. And that's just an iPad, which actually is so primitive that 2 years after it's invented, it goes in the garbage and then somebody goes and buys a new one. Human beings are so unique that they're still completely mesmerize everyone that comes in touch with them, whether that was a 10,000 years ago or that will be if Allah keeps the earth running 10,000 years from now. This is something that is very, very unique about Allah's creation in general and human beings in particular. And it's something that should amaze us. It should actually put us in a state of dhikr. We should be able to look at the differences in the cultures and the skin tones and the languages and the tastes and you know the traditions, and it should just be amazing to us that there is so much similarity but so much difference. I mean, you know, if you look at the now that they're doing all these molecular studies, you look at you know, human beings are 99.9% the same in all relevant genetic loci. Sorry, I'm getting, you know, very technical, but human beings are 99.9% the same at all relevant genetic loci, meaning, you know, all of the key genes that we understand today, they're all the same amongst everybody. That's just completely mind-boggling that everything is so similar, but I don't think you could tell me that if you have two children, that these two are 99.9% the same. In fact, it's the opposite. People come and they talk about their children. They say, this one is opposite of that one. These guys are completely different. This one is outgoing and cracking jokes all the time. This one is serious and doing this all the time. They're completely different. This is the uniqueness with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. And actually, this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everybody was the same, we'd be a bunch of robots. You know, everybody has a different personality. Everybody has different abilities. Everybody has something a little different that makes them smile, something a little different that motivates them. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And not only is that recognized in the communities in which we exist, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these communities so that we can know one another, but actually, this is also represented even by the Day of Judgment. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created one way by which you get an A. Now, you know, when you go to class, see, this is the thing about education today, by the way. I'll give my little critique here. This is the thing about education. What happens is you put 30 kids in a classroom, and the expectation is that every single one of those kids can be funneled and learn in one way. Right? So, because that's what happens in a classroom. There's one syllabus, there's one textbook, there's one teacher that has one style of teaching, there's one set of expectations, and everybody's held to that set of expectations. But that's not the way human beings work. That's a limit. That's a limitation on our ability to educate and cause children to grow. And you'll see that nowadays, and even historically, but particularly nowadays, there's all this emphasis on individualization of learning, creating space for the student, creating opportunities for each student to be able to thrive, making sure that there's enough, instructional time with the teacher, but at the same time, there's enough cooperation time in which students are working together so that they can express themselves and show their abilities, whatever it might be. That's in the realm of education. But the beauty of our deen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many pathways in this life and so many opportunities in the hereafter that acknowledge the differences that exist amongst us and allow each person to be able to maximize on those differences. Now, unfortunately, what happens is we, as human beings, we pigeonhole things. That's our human nature. We make things very constricted, and usually we constrict them upon our own personalities. If I'm one way, everybody should be that way. If my strength is this, everybody has to have that strength. Otherwise, they're weak. That's a mistake. That's certainly not the way the deen exists. I mean, you think about this, you know, everybody knows a famous narration in which, you know, there's a subset of people that will earn the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh on the Day of Judgment. You know, and then they say the seven groups of people that will earn that shade. But when you look at those seven groups of people, each one is doing something different. Whether that be knowledge or whether that be, you know, having love for somebody in the community or whether that be spending out of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, each one is doing something different. And we're not required to do all seven. We just have to do one. Or even make an attempt towards one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then includes us in this, you know, in this group of people that earns this amazing reward. On the Day of Judgment, there's different doors that go into Jannah. You don't have to pass through these doors to go to Jannah. You have to just enter any one of them to get into Jannah. Each of the deeds that a person does, each of them is rewarded in a different way and multiplied in a different way. I mean, you could read one hadith. The amazing thing about deen is you could read one hadith, and when you're done with it, you could be convinced that the only way to go to Jannah is through sadaqah. But then you turn the page and go to the next hadith, and then you could be convinced that the only way to get to Jannah is fasting. That's the nature of the deen. But that nature of the deen is predicated upon the differences that exist within ourselves. It's actually based upon the fact that we are all different. We have different tendencies. We have different inclinations. That those inclinations are a good thing. They're part of who we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and He created many, many avenues by which we can succeed. Now, because we don't appreciate that, we make two mistakes. We make mistakes in the dunya, we make mistakes in our akhirah. Or we could say, we make mistakes in our dunyawi planning, and we make decisions in our dini planning. In the dunya planning, we make an assumption that everybody has to do one thing or two things in order to be successful. And we're all fixated on that. Not all. Many of us are fixated on that. We think that the only way to be happy is to have a big salary. No, it's not the case. It's actually data proves it's the opposite. There's a certain amount that a person needs, and you would be surprised, it's not that much. And after that, it just becomes misery. There's a certain amount that people need, and after that, it becomes misery. And that amount is relatively attainable in the society in which we exist. It's one of the blessings of Allah upon us that, you know, we can live in relative abundance. Relative abundance. I'm not saying you have to be a billionaire. A billionaire has a billion headaches on his head too, or a billion headaches on her head too. So this is the mistake that we make. We pigeonhole ourselves into thinking what's success. And then we make success one thing. Success is the car I drive. Success is the bank balance I have. Success is the place I live. Success is what I can afford, the fashion that I, the purse I can carry, the shoes I can wear. It's not that way. It's not that way. Now, when somebody gets this mistaken idea, then they become fixated on that and they end up failing instead of succeeding. A lot of people think that success lies in only two or three professions. How can success lie in only two or three professions? How would a society exist if everybody was doing the exact same thing? If there's no one to lay a brick, then how can you build a home? If everybody was a computer programmer, then how would you make a road? No, success doesn't lie in everybody doing one thing. Success lies in every person finding where they belong. Every person in having an intention to do that which they do for the sake of Allah, and every other person appreciating and respecting that. That's what makes a successful society. And that's how we learn to appreciate one another. That's what causes a community to thrive. So when we have our children, or when we make decisions for ourselves, we can't let the world tell us what's success. That's a mistake. We have to recognize that, as Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in a hadith, which is in Bukhari, by the way, that human beings are like mines. You know, in particular in that narration of gold and silver, but let's just be general. Human beings are like mines. What does that mean? Has many meanings, but one particular meaning. Everyone has gold and silver in them. Human beings are like mines, but everyone has gold and silver in them. It just requires the person to know where to look and how to find it. Now, if you know anything about mining, when you go mining, you can't just start banging on the wall and all of a sudden gold and silver start falling on your head. Right? You can't just keep banging on the wall and gold and silver will fall on your head. It's a very planned thing where you have to understand, you know, echoes and the way that sound waves penetrate through this part of the mine and that part of the mine is very, very carefully done. There's, you know, small amounts of work, and then there's deeper digging, and then there's eventually removing the metal and purifying the metal. It's not that you just go and start banging on it and just gold and silver falls on your head. You have to know where to hit. You have to know how to hit. You have to know when to hit. You have to know to not go too far because you can collapse the mine. And you have to know when you're hitting a place of value, when you've maximally extracted. You know, I remember one time I was on a tour and I visited a gold mine. And when I went to the gold mine, they said, this is a gold mine. It's loaded with gold and silver. But there was so much to mine. It was there were all these walls everywhere and it was so deep. And the first question people asked, so if I go in there and I start banging on the wall, will I find gold and silver? They said there's gold and silver all over. Well, then why aren't there people working here? Why is this abandoned? Because it's reached its maximum capacity. They know that if they were to continue to bang on the walls, the whole mine would collapse on them. So they leave that mine and they go find another one. Human beings are the same way. You can't just bang, bang, bang on them or extract everything you want out of them and then, you know, think that they'll never collapse. We as human beings, everybody has a potential in them. That potential has to be maximized. Rasulullah ﷺ, as he dealt with the companions, he maximized them on their potential. Whether that was sadaqah for one person, knowledge for another person, late night prayer for another person, memorization of Quran for another person. Each one was different. They weren't all the same. And that's okay. That's why there's 120, you know, plus 1,000 companions, and each one can be followed in their example. Rasulullah ﷺ left all of them as an example for us, and each one has their own propensity towards certain things, and each one exhibits a different aspect of Allah's creation and beauty of deen. Now, why is that important? It's important because one problem that we have in our lives is that we look at everyone else and we just assume that everybody else is doing what we should do. And then we're not comfortable or happy. You know, Somebody is a lawyer, they think they should be a doctor. Somebody's a doctor, they think they should be a teacher. Somebody's a teacher, they think they should be a lawyer. Everybody's got the same thing going on in their mind. I'm just telling you because I talk to people all the time, this is the same thing. Doesn't matter what they are. Everybody thinks that they should be doing something different. That's the nature of how we get confused. But each person needs to recognize that they have to fulfill the mandate that's on their shoulders. The person who's a doctor doesn't need to be a scholar. The person who's a scholar doesn't need to be a lawyer. Everybody has their own place in the community. And each person will thrive in that position. So that's the first thing. We should be content with the qualities that Allah has placed in us, and we should recognize that the way by which we succeed is not to try to be like somebody else, it's to be the best that we are, recognizing who we are. And one of the biggest blessings that you get from seeking advice from people, you know, the best advice that someone can give you is not... Okay, let me take a step back. When we go to people for advice, the vast majority of people who advise us, they tend to advise us based on who they are. So you go to a doctor and you ask a doctor, what should I be? They'll always tell you to be a doctor. Not because you should be a doctor, but because they're a doctor. There's a big difference. Very, very few people on this planet when you ask them for advice, will give you advice based on what you should be. That's a much deeper advice. That's a much deeper advice to understand the person, the question that they're asking, what their abilities are, what's relevant to them, what will allow them to succeed, what will maintain their happiness, and to give advice based on that. Now, you look at Rasulullah's advice, it's so interesting. Somebody comes and asks, what's the best thing? Rasulullah tells them one thing, don't get angry. Another person comes and asks, what's the best thing? Prayer at its time. Another person comes and asks, what's the best thing? A different answer is given. It's not because there was a confusion about what the answer should be. It's because the questioner was different in every single case. So for that particular individual, there was a very particular answer. This is the individualization of human beings that exists across the diversity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us. We're all different. And because we're all different, we all have different abilities. We all have different pathways to success. And we respect and appreciate that. Now, in the end, what determines success is when it's done for the sake of Allah. That's the final common denominator. And there's some basic signs of that. You know, we all have to pray 5 times a day, but that's a constitutive thing that has been made within us. Like, just like I say, every one of you is different, but you all have to eat to survive. Every one of you is different, but you all have to sleep to live. Every one of you is different, but you all need to wear clothing to stay warm. Right? That we're not going to change. Those are some basic relevant functions. Like I said, that 99.9% of, you know, our key genetic loci are all the same. We're all the same. We all have to pray 5 times a day. We all have to fast in the month of Ramadan. We all have to go for Hajj if Allah provides us with the opportunity. We all have to give zakah from our wealth. That's not going to change. But what will change beyond that is where our emphasis lies, where our abilities lie, what we maximize on. There's one person that's going to be very attached to Quran and they're going to have a very special reward. There's another person that's going to be very attached to sadaqah and they're going to have a very special reward. There's going to be another person that is going to have love in their heart for every person in the community. Then is this going to be someone that binds people together? They're going to have a separate reward. And all of that's great. All of that's great. All of that, it allows us to express who we are, and it's necessary because you can't create a community of people unless everybody has room to express themselves. Now, that means that we have to understand that ourselves, which means that we have to be content with the circumstances that Allah places us in, and we have to appreciate where our abilities lie. And we have to maximize on who we are. One of the ways by which Shaitan deceives us is to try to make us be something that we aren't. Because then we're not able to succeed. And once we're not able to succeed, that leads to sadness. And that leads to an inability to interact appropriately. And if human beings don't have something that brings happiness to them, they just completely freeze. So that's what Shaitan does, you know. A person's totally trained and ready to be a doctor, has the abilities to be a doctor, going to make a contribution as a doctor. And then he starts thinking, oh no, I shouldn't be a doctor. You know, that's not from, you know, some sort of wisdom that arises late in their career and now they're figuring out they shouldn't be a doctor. That often comes from Shaitan. we have to appreciate who we are. We have to recognize our skill set, and we have to be content that Allah, His treasure is vast, His ability to reward is infinite, and He makes excuses to reward the believer. When a person goes and treats a patient, or when a person goes and represents the underserved, or when a person goes and creates a program that is able to help teachers input their grades, whatever it might be, each person has a reward associated with that, so long as the common denominator is khidmah and service of Allah, and it's done in order to raise Allah's great name. That, you know, that's a common denominator. Obviously, that, like I mentioned already, those things have to be common. Now, that's one. Number two is that when we have children, this is another stress that falls upon the parent. It's a very common stress that falls upon the parent. Every parent wants to pigeonhole their children into one way, both in dunya and in deen. In dunya, they've made a decision like, if my child isn't this, they're nothing. So now they're forcing their children into that way. It may be that the child is developed for that way, that's fine. But likely the child is not developed for that way, and that leads to many, many problems in the child's life and in the parent's life, and creates a tremendous amount of stress at home. So this is something that we need to appreciate. Now, does that mean that we have to be lax on our children and never have expectations from them and just, you know, say, okay, you want to be a puppet? Fine, be a puppet. No, I'm not saying that. Obviously, you know, there's certain things that we have goals for, which is that a person should reach their maximum potential. They have to be able to earn a basic living for them and their family. It should be halal. They should be able to make a contribution to society, you know, whatever it might be. But the point is that there's a lot of ways to do that. And it's not necessarily the one way that we've all convinced ourselves of, or the two or three ways that we've all convinced ourselves of. Often there's many, many ways by which that can be achieved. And we should appreciate that, and we should nourish that, but at the same time, in the boundaries of deen. Deen is boundaries. Deen is not some very, very narrow way. There's boundaries of what's halal and what's haram, and then there's things that are encouraged towards, and those things are encouraged towards. Each one is a garden. Sadaqah itself is a garden. Salah is a garden. Sawm is a garden. Having good in your heart is a garden, etc. So, again, we have to appreciate that as we handle our children. Now, that exists in our dunya, but it also exists in our deen. This is what I was actually trying to get to. It exists in our deen. You know, it's very common for people to get upset and say, I get calls all the time, especially about this. You know, I'm sending my son for HIFS and he's not progressing the way he should. Or I'm sending my son for HIFS and he's not doing what he should be doing. He's fooling around. He's wasting time. I'm sending my daughter for HIFS and she's not focused. HIFS is something that is supererogatory in the deen. Everybody cannot be a hafiz. There's no way. There's no way that if all of us sat down in this room and we all made a commitment, honestly, we could say that it's $1 million prize. Everybody in this room, whoever comes back 1 year from now as a hafiz, there's $1 million prize. I guarantee that 10% of the people in this room will not come back hafiz. It's not something that everybody can do. Everybody has a different ability. Now, can we all interact with the Qur'an? Yes. Can we all memorize some portion of the Qur'an? Yes. Can we all use the Qur'an as a source of guidance? Yes. Can the Qur'an inspire us to do things that human beings rarely are able to achieve? Yes. Every one of us. Every one of us has that ability in their heart. Does that mean that everybody in the society is going to become a hafiz of Qur'an? No. No. And in fact, it takes time. You know, initially, our community and the scholars in the community, they were very set that everybody could do it. And now, you'll see that now the attitudes change. Now they say no. Now, you know, in fact, they'll actually weed people out as they go along because they recognize that they're just creating more problems than they're solving. Now, again, everybody knows, can learn how to read Quran. Everybody can learn how to read Quran with tajweed. Everybody can memorize a subset of Quran, but that subset of Quran is going to differ for each child. And there's a significant number of people that can memorize Quran. I think I mentioned this before, you know, the ability of the brain and how vast it is. I think I had this conversation with you maybe a few weeks back. I mean, if you know how to tap into that brain in the way that it is designed to be tapped into, The vast majority, many, many people can memorize Quran, but you have to also remember that Quran is not only dependent on the person's brain, it's dependent on the circumstances in which we find ourselves. In order for Quran to be memorized, there has to be an amazing teacher. And not everybody has access to a great teacher. In order for Quran to be memorized, there has to be a house that can support it, and every house cannot support it. We're all different. I mean, some of us work and they work till 8 o'clock at night and we come home and, you know, we're not there to be able to hold our child's hand and get them through it. And then on top of that, the child has to be interested. So you need to have a good house. You need to have a house that's conducive. You need to have a teacher that's conducive. You need to have a child that's conducive. And then the brain can be tapped to reach its maximal ability. But, you know, that's not going to be every person. And that doesn't have to be every person. And it's not like there's only one way to enter into Jannah. And it's not like there's only one way to enter to the highest levels of Jannah. Honestly, if we all in our heart developed a love for the Hafiz, then we'll all be with the Hafiz in Jannah anyway. So what more is required? That's when hadith talk about all the grandeur associated with the Hafiz, there's two goals associated with those hadith. The first goal is to inspire people to become Hafiz of Quran, which, again, we should all aim for, but we should all recognize it may not happen with everyone. But the second goal of such hadith is that we should all fall in love with Hifz of Quran. That everyone can do. And once we're in love with Hifz of Quran, then we love the Hafiz of Quran. And when we love the Hafiz of Quran, then the hope is that we'll be with them on the Day of Judgment, because we know that we're going to be with the ones that we love. So we love the Hafiz of Quran, we love the ulama of deen, we love the people that give sadaqah, we love the people that serve deen, we love the ones who create love amongst us. That allows us to be in their company. This is a silsila. This is what we mean by silsila. You know, I've talked about this this idea before. This is what the silsila is. The silsila means chain. There's a chain that bonds all of us together. You know, we have this chain of love for the Hafiz. We have this chain of love for the Qari. We have this chain of love for the ulama. We have this chain of love for the Sahaba. These are the silsilas that bind us together, which basically drag all of us in this long chain eventually to connect to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the people that are going to be with him in Jannah. Allah has no maximal ability to reward. It is infinite. Allah's ability to reward is infinite, and Allah's reward will be infinite. We just have to make an excuse. And subhanAllah, the excuse is such that even if we just have love in our hearts, it's sufficient. Honestly, it's sufficient. We're just dependent on Allah's mercy. You know, just to think, I wish I could become a Hafiz al-Quran. I will love the Hufaz. I will support them. I will try to encourage them. If I ever see anybody doing it, I will, you know, do what I can to encourage them. That's sufficient. That's sufficient to create a huge reward on the Day of Judgment. Now, what ends up happening is we actually do the opposite. We get so fixated on Hifz of Quran that if our child isn't doing it the way we want, we tell the teacher to handle him, and then we start handling him, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. And then what happens is instead of attaining the goal, one of the two goals, goal one was Hifz, goal two was to love Hifz, we end up that the kid hates the Hafiz and hates Hifz. And hates the Hifz teacher too. And hates the time word Hifz. You just say the word Hifz, the person gets an allergic reaction. So that's the reality of where we end up. That's not deen. That's just our anger coming out because we become fixated, people fixated in one way, and we want every single person to be that way. That's not the way communities are going to develop. That's not the way deen is going to develop. That's the way that you're going to develop three Hafiz and 35 people that don't want to be Hafiz. We are a community of people that are different. And we all depend on one another. Believe me, if there wasn't somebody giving abundant sadaqah, there would be no Hafiz in the community. And if there wasn't people doing hifs, there would be very few people giving sadaqah in the community, because it's the barakah of their hifs that allows people's hearts to be ignited to give money, and it's the money that allows people to be able to do hifs. The whole thing is one connected chain. It's like, you know, they say, like, what do they talk about in biology? The ecosystem. You know, everybody's connected to everybody. The mouse is eating this, and this is eating this, and this is eating this, and the sun is giving this, and they tie everything. You know, you study one thing, that the mouse is this, the grass is this, the sun is this, photosynthesis is this, molecules are this, chemistry is this. But in the end, it's actually all just picking apart at pieces of one creation. That's what it is. Because there's one creator. So the same atoms that you study in chemistry are the same atoms that actually make us up. And they're the same atoms that make up the grass and make up the mouse and make up the hawk. But what happens is this whole thing exists in an ecosystem and everything is reliant upon everything else. And it's only when everything is in balance that the whole system functions. So that's exactly here. It's only when everything is in balance. Look, everybody's not going to become a scholar. Everybody's not going to be into knowledge. One brother came to me a few days ago. He said, I sit in these lectures of knowledge and I don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about Maturidi and this and this. And what is all this? I don't understand any of it. So he was so depressed. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I sit in these, in the gatherings and I try to understand, but it's so technical. I can't understand what they're talking about. And it doesn't rub with me. I said, it doesn't have to. You don't have to become a scholar. Do you know how to pray if you know your prayer? Do you know how to make wudu? Do you know how to fast in Ramadan? Those are the things you have to know. Do you have to know the intricacies of 10th century aqidah? No. If it doesn't interest you, it doesn't interest you. It doesn't matter. You have to know. You have to have basic aqidah. But if you're not interested in understanding the ping pong that occurred between the scholars relevant to the challenges of aqidah in the 10th century, you don't have to. It's not necessary. So what do you enjoy? I'm most comfortable going to the masjid and helping out from behind the scenes and, you know, just making dua for the masjid. And sometimes I'm able to make some money and give sadaqah. Alhamdulillah. That's great. So you should be that person. You don't have to be anybody else. And you're just as good as anybody else because each person, we're all different pieces of a fabric. There can't be any hole anywhere. That's what makes people feel welcome. That's what makes the community grow. That's what makes the community thrive. Everybody should be able to bring their skills to the table. And each of those skills needs to be appreciated and welcomed. That's what it means that people are gold. People are minds like gold and silver. Every person has gold and silver in them. Just you have to be able to figure out where it is. Rasulullah ﷺ was so patient with the kuffar. So patient with the kuffar. And what happened? Every one of them became an example of deen. Despite the fact that they were idol worshippers, every one of them became an example of deen. It's just amazing. That's the type of mining that we aim to do. And not that we're all miners and that we're going to be running around and trying to convince people what they should be doing with their lives, but we have children. Every one of us is going to, you know, the vast majority of the people in the room have children, grandchildren, cousins, nephews, people that they're going to interact with and people that they're going to inspire. And we should be inspiring them towards whatever allows them to maximize their potential. Now, are there boundaries? Yes. What are the boundaries? The boundaries are the halal and the haram. You know, they have to stay within the boundaries of halal and haram. And are there targets? Yes. The targets are called the sunnah. So that everyone should love the sunnah. Everyone should aim for the sunnah. Everyone should strive for the sunnah. And everyone should, but we should recognize that sometimes we won't be able to reach in every single category. So we should love the sunnah and the people who carry the sunnah. So that we can be rewarded and be with them. That's deen. And I can't tell you, I must have had 5 conversations this week, you know, in the last 7 days. I must have had 4 or 5 conversations, all centered around the same thing. One person's feeling hurt because they're not into A, but they're into B. One person's feeling hurt because their other children did this, but their children aren't doing that. One person's feeling dejected because they think that they need to make a career change. You know, in the middle of a highly successful career, mind you. You know, then another person thinks that they have to be something that they aren't. No, that's not the way it works. You know, we're all in a different, Allah created us with some diversity. Yeah, we have some things that we share. Those are the basics of deen. And then we have some abilities that are unique and the deen captures them. There are some people in the community, they're so good at making everybody feel welcome. And I can tell you, if they weren't in the community, the people would be fighting with one another. But they have this ability. They're just like bears. They hug you and then everything disappears, you know. That's just their nature. And that's good. And that's what they do. And we're dependent on them. The community cannot thrive without that. You know, there's other people, they just know how to connect with people, and they know how to inspire people, and they know how to encourage people. You want to raise money, they can get on the phone and they can call 10 people and they have, you know, the money raised. That's great. They're necessary. And there's other people that have the money, they can give it. That's great too. Again, you know, within boundaries, but that's great. We as human beings have to, we as people of deen have to appreciate that there's a diversity amongst us in dunya and in deen. And that our deen encourages that diversity to an extent. You have to be Muslim. Those are that 99% of genes that, you know, make us all the same. But that diversity is encouraged, and we have to appreciate that and recognize that in a few ways. One, looking at ourselves. Two, looking at our children. And three, when advising others. You know, we don't just advise everyone to be like me. I mean, somebody comes to me and says, I want to develop myself. What should I do? I don't say you have to do muraqabah and salawat and istighfar. I ask them what are they interested in. Maybe they're interested in dawah, then they should go for tabligh. You can develop as far as you want in the path of tabligh. Maybe they're interested in knowledge, they should go and seek knowledge. Maybe they're interested in making a contribution through their business venture. They should apply themselves to their business venture so long as they fulfill the tenets of deen. And that's what allows each person to thrive. That's the beauty of our deen. Now, does that mean that, you know, there won't be variations? There will be. Look at our history. There was a time when knowledge was, you know, peaking. There was a time when dawah was peaking. There was a time when suluk and tasawwuf was peaking. And these things go in waves across societies and cultures. There was a time when the subcontinent peaks. And there's a time when the Asian states peak. There's a time, you know, which is pretty perpetual, when Medina is peaking. Right? So that's part of human history. That's part of the deen and the benefit of deen being spread all over. So we appreciate those differences, and we maximize ourselves on those differences, and we take advantage of those differences, and we allow for expression of those differences so that all of us can reach their potential. And we should be welcoming of that. We should honestly be welcoming of that. There's no one way or the highway. In anything, there's no one way or the highway, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to maintain ourselves in the basics of deen. May He keep us upon the basics of deen, but may He also allow each of us to be able to reach our full potential as He's placed within us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create within us a love of hifz, a love of da'wah, a love of ilm, and may He make us amongst those who love all of the pious that are present amongst us and those who have come before us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين